Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
That's just me today, as Lucy's feeling a tiny bit under the weather. But I'm pleased to say we are joined by Phil Rogers for our weekly look at what's happening in Cambridge when it comes to COVID numbers. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks for joining us, as usual. The numbers in Cambridge really seem to have shot down over the past week. Why is that?
Yes, it's definitely heading in the right direction in Cambridge at the moment. But as often with the numbers, it's not always clear what's driving what's going on. Sometimes you can kind of look into what's happening by ward or what's happening by age group, and that does give some insight. But there's definitely a contrast between what's happening in Cambridge, where we've had quite a big fall, and what's happening in South Cambridgeshire, the district around the city, where numbers are still pretty high.
I find that very strange because of the number of people of all ages, both those attending school and those coming into the city from South Cambridgeshire to work. You'd think that the numbers would be, you know, give or take, kind of the same.
That's right. But I think what we're seeing at the moment is quite a lot of the transmission is happening in schools, particularly secondary schools. And in Cambridge, the pattern that we've seen with cases is that the numbers really shot up about 2-3 weeks ago, and they were high for a while. And now what's been happening is they're coming back down again. Whereas in South Cambridgeshire, they're still higher. So whether they're just at an earlier stage in South Cambridgeshire or whether there's something else going on, I guess time will tell.
It's interesting, a couple of things really from that, the first of which is that it seems that this is purely anecdotal evidence that if somebody in a class gets it, the whole class get it effectively, whereas other classes can go basically COVID free and not have any problems at all, which presumably, the two together, is what causes this stat I heard, which is something like 1 in 15 of secondary school children currently carrying the virus?
Well, there are various different numbers.
It depends who you get your stats from, where the numbers are.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the actual number of positive tests, which is obviously going to be smaller than the total number of infections. And in South Cambridgeshire, amongst the secondary schools, that's probably about 1 in 50 at the moment.
Right.
But the actual number of cases is likely to be higher than that. And we have seen some areas in Kettering in particular. They had a very, very high level. I think it was up to 1 in 15 actual tests there. And presumably the cases even higher.
That's what drives those numbers.
Perhaps they're just doing more testing.
Yeah. And you'll be familiar, of course, I think the last few days, Cambridgeshire County Council have suggested, and the local health authorities have suggested, that maybe schools put in a few measures, maybe taking, if they've got an open evening plan, to put that online rather than sort of going ahead and, I guess, mixing, which is, you know, what, as we know, is what often causes this.
Yes, they do seem to be being a little bit more cautious, and we'll see how things develop as the winter goes on. But for Cambridge, it's still relatively good news, and we have seen cases come down by about a third.
Mm. What about hospitalisations? They tend to vary a little bit, and I guess sometimes, as we've discussed in the past, Addenbrooke's numbers can be a tiny bit deceptive because there may be people who are coming from outside of Cambridge to take advantage of the excellent facilities there.
Yes, they've been slowly falling over the last month and a bit, but for the last couple of weeks, they pretty much leveled off, and there's around 24 COVID patients in Addenbrooke's at the moment. But it's still worth remembering that back in January last year, there were about 250 at the peak, so we're still a long way down on where it has been.
Yeah, I guess that is the thing, isn't it? If you look at the graphs, which I know you produce on your Twitter feed, if we were to look at them, a bit of compare and contrast from the ones from this time last year, then we'd see some pretty different numbers, both in terms of infections and, crucially, as you say there, the numbers actually being hospitalised.
Yes, we're not seeing the number of cases converting through to hospitalizations and deaths to nearly the same extent as we did a year ago. And clearly that's because of the vaccination program.
Yeah, and we'll hopefully that continues in that direction or downwards. Okay, so that's the COVID numbers for this week. The other thing we wanted to talk to you about, Phil, was the election taking place tomorrow, and it's an internal election, isn't it? I think just the this is for Lewis Herbert, who's been the city council leader now for I think 7-8 years representing Labour, the majority party on Cambridge City Council. Now, Lewis has chosen, announcing last week, to step down. And I think there's four candidates from among the city councillors who want that top job here.
Yes, that's right. So we've got Councillor Rosie Moore of Coleridge and her ward colleague Anna Smith, and Martin Smart from King's Hedges and Katie Thornborough, who now represents Petersfield. So they're the four candidates, but it's just the councillors who are going to be voting to choose who leads them.
Right, so a very narrow vote electorate, really, for this. I can't be that much more than a couple of dozen, if that.
Yes, I think there's been some pretty intense campaigning going on behind the scenes, but we haven't seen a great deal of that. Anna Smith did put up a campaign website, or at least some pages on her personal website about why she's standing for deputy leader. But I imagine that most of the campaigning is going on behind the scenes.
I can imagine a few invites for cups of coffee or Zoom calls or whatever techniques are used. It's interesting, actually. You've got two candidates from Coleridge, and of course the third candidate in Coleridge is that not Lewis Herbert?
Yes, I'm sure the ward meetings are very interesting there.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. Who would you know, I don't know if you're a betting man or not, Phil, but you know what I'm going to ask you as to, is there anything, is there one candidate who you think would be more likely to get the post? Anna Smith, for example, I think has been deputy leader. Does that necessarily mean that she'll get the top job?
Not necessarily, and I think there's several of those candidates who are in with a good chance, though I think Anna is possibly the front runner, or certainly among the front two, and she's had a lot of experience and has quite a good profile, so I certainly wouldn't be surprised if she were to get it, but we'll have to wait and see, but I imagine we'll find out pretty soon after the meeting tomorrow.
Yes. And the job itself, is this a job which is it a paid job? The council do get councillors do get allowances. One would imagine it taking up an awful lot of time if you are leader.
It's certainly a very time-consuming job, and I know councillors put a lot of work in. They do get allowances, but that's not really the same as a salary. I can't remember what the allowance is for council leader at the moment, but it's by no means big money, and the basic allowance for councillors is just a few thousands, but
so it has almost to be for a combination of love and public service.
Absolutely, yes. Most councillors, I think, do some sort of day job, as it were, and particularly in Cambridge, most of the council meetings are in the evening, and it can be a very time consuming thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one. We've got Lewis Herbert on the programme tomorrow, so he'll hopefully be able to give us, I suspect he won't at this stage anyway, tell us who he thinks will be his successor, but he'll certainly be able to give some colour on his time looking after us as the head of Cambridge City Council over these past seven or so years. Phil, as always, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:39 now.
We're live and local. Cambridge 105 Radio.